54, the page 197. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are worthy of thyself divine. But the fair glories of thy grace beyond thine other wonders shine. Hymn 54. Let's stand together, please, as we sing this evening. Pray together. Come around the throne of grace afresh this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We think even of those words that are found in Isaiah. As the angels are there in heaven, Lord, they're looking upon the Savior. They're looking upon the throne. And they cover their feet with twain of the wings, they cover their eyes, and they fly. And the cry goes up, holy, holy, holy. We come, O God, this night acknowledging that thou art a thrice holy God. Lord, we acknowledge that we are not holy. And in all of ourselves, O God, our best, our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. And yet, O Father, this night we acknowledge that we can stand before thee. We are invited to come before thee. because of what Christ has done for us. We plead all of His merits this night. We thank Thee for that clothing in His righteousness. We thank Thee for the justification in His blood. We thank Thee for the peace that we have with Thee in and through Christ. We rejoice in our Saviour. We rejoice, O God, even this night in the cross work of Christ and all that was accomplished, all that was done towards His Father, all that was done on behalf of His people. We praise Thee, we thank Thee for it all. And Lord, we thank Thee for the pardoning of our sins. Lord, we acknowledge that our sins offended Thee. Our sins, O God, came up as that rejection even before Thee of us. For, O God, we were at enmity with Thee. But, Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast pardoned us because of what Christ has done for us. We praise Him this night. And as we are found in this house, O God, afresh, we do pray that there will be worship upon our minds and upon our hearts. We're not simply here to spend a time together, to spend an hour. But, O God, we're here to worship. We're here to come, to sing, to read Thy Word, to hear it preached, even as we study it together. And then, O God, to come around the throne of grace in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for each one that is here. We thank Thee for another day that Thou hast blessed us and been faithful to us in it, O God, for watching out and watching over us, even in our going outs and our coming ins. We thank Thee for every blessing that Thou hast given to us this day. Lord, we thank Thee for bringing us in safety tonight. We do pray for each one that is here, and we think as well of those that can't be here but are tuning in. Lord, that Thou wilt bless each and every one, that Thou wilt, O God, work in hearts, and that each day we will know what it is to die more and more unto self and unto sin, to live more and more unto righteousness. We do pray for that work of sanctification within each one of us. O Father, we thank Thee for the work of the Spirit even in us. And we do pray that day by day that we will be drawn closer to Thee. That day by day that we will decrease and Christ will increase within us. O Father, undertake for us in our walks with Thee. Father, each one with that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we do pray that that love will grow. That knowledge of our Saviour will grow, that trust in Him will grow, that we will not be looking to self or looking to anyone else, but, O God, that we will lift up our eyes onto the hills, that we will not trust in horses or chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Father, come and bless us this night. Come and do us good, I pray Thee, even in this time together. Bless each and every aspect of it, and may all that is done and said resound to the honour and to the glory of King Jesus. In His worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joshua in the chapter 7 we come to this evening. Book of Joshua, the chapter 7. And we do welcome each one that is here this evening. It's good to see such a goodly number in for our Bible study and prayer meeting this evening. We do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in His house, and to those online as well, wherever you are, we welcome you. And it is our prayer that the Lord will speak to you through His word tonight, as He will speak indeed to each one that is here. Joshua in the chapter 7, and reading a number of verses scattered throughout the passage as we continue in our studies in the valleys of Scripture. Joshua 7, the verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And then the verse 10. And of course, those in between verses that we're leaving out for sake of time this evening, the Israelites have gone up against Ai and have been defeated. 36 have been put to the sword, and the rest have fled. And Joshua and the elders of Israel have come in and fallen before the Lord. And they remained there until the even time. And then the verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And in verse 16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. It is the Valley of Achor we come to this evening as we continue to consider some of the valleys in Scripture with our Bibles open before us. Let's pray and seek the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we do, O God, come afresh before thee. We acknowledge so much of what we have read is well known to so many. O God, this passage, whenever Achan is dealt with and the sin is discovered and revealed, O Father, has no doubt been heard many times in the past. But we do pray that as we come to it again this evening, Lord, that we will come with that freshness, and that thy word will come forth with freshness. And Father, that it will speak to each and to every heart. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt work in hearts. And even as we consider and as we study God's word together, Lord, that thou wilt teach us something new of thee. And O God, even search us out and reveal unto us if there be any wicked deed within us. Father, bless us. Empty us now of self and of sin, and fill us with thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 11 and the verse 11, the land of Canaan is described by Moses as being a land of hills and valleys. And certainly that is the reality of what we've noted as we've studied this land at various times, whether it be in relation to Caleb in the Mount of Hebron, or whether it be just those occasions whenever we come in and out of this book, and as we consider this land of Canaan, the land that was promised to the Israelites by the Lord, there were many hills and mountains. And there were indeed many valleys. The land of Canaan has on different occasions been likened to the Christian entering into their inheritance. The times of wandering have passed, and now they've crossed the River Jordan, and they've entered into that inheritance, that which the Lord has promised, that which the Lord has supplied even for them. And of course the Christian knows that there are times of mountains and valleys within the Christian life and in the Christian walk. Indeed, isn't it true that you cannot have a mountain if you do not have a valley? You cannot have mountains if there is not a valley in between them. And this particular valley we come to this evening is the Valley of Achor. This valley was believed to be southwest of the city of Jericho, just to the side of the camp of Gilgal. The Valley of Achor, it simply carries that meaning, carries that name, the Valley of Trouble. And as you look into Joshua chapter 7, that's all you find is trouble. After all, that's what God had prophesied. That's what God had promised to the children of Israel if they were to sin as they went into the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 18, as they're given the battle commands by the Lord, even through his servant Joshua. The Lord promised them and he commanded them, and he says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." And as you come into chapter 7, as you go through chapter 7, that's all you find is trouble. The Israelites were troubled before the people of Ai. Joshua and the elders were troubled before the Lord because they came in before the Lord and they rent their clothes and they fell in the dirt and they remained there until the eventide. The 36 Israelite families were troubled as they mourned for their loved ones, those that had been put to the sword upon the battlefield. And Joshua would declare, even there at the end of the chapter, the verse 25, he asks the question of Achan, "Why hast thou troubled us?" This is a valley of trouble. That's what Achor was. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to this valley tonight. Firstly, I want you to see the verse 11. You have the depth of the trouble. The depth of the trouble. It is God speaking and he says, "Israel have sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Within that one verse, you have condensed for us the depth of the trouble and all of the sin that was found there at that time. All of the grievance of God that is come up before him even at that time is all found within that one verse. It was the Lord himself who made the declaration of the trouble that was in the camp. He begins the statement very simply. He just says, "Israel have sinned." He calls it what it is. My, how much this must have grieved the Lord. Because as he says these words, "Israel have sinned," he's not talking about the heathen of Canaan. He's not talking about those that were outside of his people. He is talking about his people. Now the heathen sins were great and they were wicked. The Lord had mentioned them even before in previous occasion to Moses. He had spoke of how the heathen had even killed their own children and made their children walk through the fire. God knew the sins of the heathen, but how much this must have grieved his own heart to have to say those words, "Israel have sinned." My own people, those that I made a covenant with, those that I promised to fight for, those that I promised to deliver this land into their hands and into the possession for their families to come, how much it must have grieved the Lord to have to say these words, "Israel, my people, have sinned." He goes on in that verse 11. He says, "They have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them." This covenant, this command that he had given them, is the words that we read in Joshua 6 in the verses 18, but indeed the verses 16 right through to 19. Because there in those verses he tells them, and it is Joshua who speaks in the Lord's behalf, and he says, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you this city." There's the covenant of the Lord, the promise of the Lord. "I have given you this city." The Lord showing what his part in the victory will be. He is the one who provided the victory. And it goes on, the verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it, therein, to the Lord. The verse 18 we read already about not touching anything of the accursed thing. The verse 19, all the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. There's the covenant between God and his people in relation to the city of Jericho. God will provide the victory. God will provide the enemy into the hand of the Israelites. God will accomplish it all. And the part for the Israelites is, you do not touch it. You do not take of it. It is all the Lord's. God promised them victory. He promised them safety in the battle, security. And their part was simply, you do not touch, you do not take anything of the possessions of Jericho. And yet here in chapter 7, the verse 11, God says, ye have transgressed my covenant. And that word for transgressed is the Hebrew word abar. And within the book of Joshua, the word abar is used on 59 occasions. Only three of those occasions is it translated transgressed. All of the other occasions it speaks about is being passed over or being passed by. Whenever the Israelites passed over the water, that's the word that is used. Or whenever they passed by a certain area, that's the word that is used, abar. But in these three occasions it is transgressed. But therefore you think of it even in the passing by. What is God saying of those people? God is saying of his own people, they have passed by my covenant. They have passed over my command. In other words, they've simply walked past it as if it didn't apply to them. God has set down his word for the Israelite people. God has set down his command of what to touch and what not to touch, what to take and what not to take. And the Israelites, as it were, in Achan, have simply walked in, have ignored everything that God has said, everything that God has written, just went on and did what they wanted. Just went on and took what they wanted. As if God's word didn't apply to them. As if God's word didn't concern them. As if God's word meant nothing. Remember this, as I said, this is God's people that are being addressed. This is the Israelites, it's not the heathen. And God is saying clearly, my own people Israel have sinned, for they have bypassed. They have simply crossed over, as it were, passed over my covenant, my command. Of course, today we can point the finger at the heathen and the world and the ungodly, and we can say without a shadow of a doubt, they have bypassed God's word. They have simply crossed over. They have simply ignored the commands of the Lord as written in Scripture. But sadly, they're Christians, God's own people, that have transgressed the covenant, that have bypassed the word of God. The commands that the Lord has laid out in Scripture, even for his own people. And yet there are certain of those commands, and God's own people have simply crossed over, as it were. They've passed them by as if, oh, they don't apply to me. I'll take these ones, yes, but God's commands there, they don't apply to me. I'll just walk past them as if they're not important. Some Christians have robbed God of his tithes and his offerings. God stated clearly, you are to give of your tithes and your offerings unto the Lord. And there are some of God's people and they've robbed God of that. They've ignored that command even of the Lord to give of their substance, to give of that which the Lord has prospered them. And they've simply said, no, I'll keep that for myself. And yet God's command is clear, you give. Some have brought and sought to bring the things of the world into their lives and into their homes. Yet we are called to be a separated people. Called to be separated from sin. And yet many Christians, just like Achan, have brought the sins, have brought the accursed things into their own homes. And as it were, have hidden them in their own tents. out of the eye of the world, out of the eye of the neighbours, out of the eye of the brethren and sisters. They've hid those things in their own home. Some of God's people have transgressed the covenant. They've taken of the accursed thing and they've stolen. You think of it there, that verse 11, even as the Lord says it. He says, they have taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. You think of that in light of Achan as he went into the city of Jericho. I'm sure the city of Jericho was coming down with substance. I'm sure there was gold, there was silver, there was all of the fine robes, the Babylonian garments. I'm sure there was much to see. He didn't have to go and look for it. As those walls fell down flat, and as they entered in, as they all went up from their places, and as they entered into the city of Jericho, I'm sure it was there in every home. I'm sure it was there in the streets. I'm sure it was there in the shops. All of the gold, the silver, all of the Babylonian garments, and all of the Israelites would have seen it. Because, of course, there had to be the gathering of it, even to dispose it, to bring it to the Lord's treasury, and the rest of it to bring, even to burn, and to even leave in that area together. But unlike the others, Achan not only saw it the first time, or looked on it the first time, he looked a second time. And then he lusted for it. He longed for it. Not led to the taking of the accursed thing. It wasn't simply enough just to look and say, right, that's the Lord's. Move on in the battle, move on in the fight at that time in Jericho. Achan's eye, his distraction was, he kept going back to it. Even though the enemies were there to be faced in the city of Jericho, they were all to be overthrown. They were to secure the city. They were to get the victory complete. And yet Achan's mind was constantly going back. There's the gold. There's the silver. There's the garments. The temptation overcame him. He entered into sin. I think of the words of James 1, the verses 14 and 15. It says, but every man, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And Achan didn't simply steal from the people of Jericho, he stole from God. That gold, that silver, all of those garments, all of the different pieces that were there in the city of Jericho, they were the Lord's. The Lord had stated that. It's my treasury, the silver and the gold must come to. The rest must be burnt. It's mine to burn. That's what the Lord had said, Joshua 6:19. All the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the Lord's treasury. Achan stole from God. And in doing so, he actually sought to justify it. If you notice in the verse 21 that we read in chapter 7, he calls it spoil. Because whenever he has to confess, whenever he's brought before Joshua, he says, when I saw among the spoils, but they weren't spoils. What was there in Jericho was not spoils, they were the Lord's. They were the Lord's treasury. And yet he sought to change the word. He sought to dilute it. He sought to justify what he did just to make it acceptable. He's reclassifying the description. He's reclassifying. He's changing the boundaries. He's moving the demarcation lines. He's saying, no, 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 it's not the Lord's. It's just spoils. Stealing from the Lord. In the verse 11, as we continue through that verse, he says, they have stolen and dissembled also, and put it even among their own stuff. That word dissembled simply means dishonesty. Achan was dishonest. You think there was Achan, there was his family as well. His family knew about it. In case you wonder why was his sons, his daughters burned in the fire and stoned along with him. The whole family knew what he was doing. The whole family were part of it. The whole family were in on it. When he brought that gold and the silver back to the family tent, they all saw what the father, the head patriarch figure, did in the home at that time. They all watched as he dug that hole in the middle of the tent and as he buried it. You think of that time. Joshua calls him the next morning. He brings all of the children of Israel together and he makes the declaration. He sends them right. There's sin in the camp. And Achan stands there with everybody else in line. He doesn't confess. And then it's tribe by tribe. The tribe of Judah is taken. Still Achan stands there in line as if, oh, I'm fine. Then the family of Zerah is taken and Zabdi is taken. And now it's starting to really come in closer and closer to home. And still, even whenever the family is taken, yet he still stands there. He never once comes and confesses. Until it's brought right to his very door, as it were, right to standing before Joshua. Joshua has to say to him, give God the glory. In other words, now confess. Such is the dishonesty in the man. Not only did he steal, then he sought to lie about it. To feign as if he had done nothing wrong, as if he was the innocent party. Oh, the depth of the trouble that he had brought to Israel. Depth of the sin that he had committed. Depth of the grievance. Yes, you can say 36 families were greatly grieved. They're mourning their loved ones that had died in the battlefield. It's all because of Achan. But oh, the depth of the grievance towards God. Israel, my people, have sinned. The depth of the trouble. Then the verses 23 to 26, the dealing with the trouble. The dealing with the trouble. Those final verses, it tells of how they go. The confession is made, then the runners are sent. The discovery is made in the tent. They dig into the middle of the tent. They find the silver, the gold, the garments. They bring them. They lay them before the Lord, before Joshua, before the people. Then the family and the treasure are reunited in the valley of Achan, or Achor. The declaration is made by Joshua, the verse 26. Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee. Now I think of the words that are found in Galatians 6 and the verses 7 and 8. Paul writing to the church in Galatia, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Might you think of that in relation to Achan? He mocked even as he stood in that lineup, as all of the families were brought together. He mocked even by his actions because he still stood there. Did he think he was going to get away with it? Did he think that if he stood and as he acted, like the rest of them around him, that God didn't know, that God wouldn't reveal it? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Achan got what he sowed. Achan got in the valley of Achor. He got his treasure, yes, but the trouble that he had brought then to Israel, now he was receiving the trouble from the Lord. Because we read that all of Israel stoned Achan. All of them. Joshua, the elders, the tribes, the families, they all stoned Achan and his family. And all is burnt with fire And then over all the ashes is raised up a great heap of stones as a memorial to teach the people. You know, in the book of Joshua, this is the third time a heap of stones has been raised as a memorial. Other two occasions you read about it in Joshua chapter 4 and the verse 8. Time whenever the great demonstration of God's power is shown, whenever the waters of the river Jordan are separated and they all cross in the dry land. 2 million people cross the river Jordan in the dry land. And even as it's separated and as the great walls of water are being held back, the command is given, raise up stones in the middle of the riverbed and then also lift 12 stones and bring them to the riverside. And they're set up. Why? Because it shows God's veracity and God's power. Because God kept His word, He brought them all over safely. In God's power, He held back the waters. But this particular memorial in the Valley of Achor, it's not a testimony of His power or His veracity. It's a testimony of His justice. It's a warning to the Israelites as well, obey God's word. God has stated it clearly. I'll fight for you. I'll give you the victories. But you keep my word. You know, it's interesting at the beginning of new chapters in the Lord's dealings with Israel, how God punished sin. The tabernacle's instituted. And then Nadab and Abihu come along with their strange fire. God killed them. When David brought back the ark, tells us of the man Uzzah. The ark started to shake and with the stones that the cart was going over. Uzzah put out his hand. He thought he was holier than the ground. He thought, I'll touch the ark. God killed him. Ananias and Sapphira lied whenever they sold their land, Acts 5. They stole from the Lord. God killed them. And here with Achan, this new chapter, even as the battles have commenced, a lesson is given to the people. Do not take God's word lightly. Do not ignore it or bypass it. Do not cross over it as if it doesn't matter to you or doesn't apply to you. You know, some Christians do that today with the scriptures, don't they? Some Christians believe the Old Testament's not for them. The Old Testament's the law. We're under grace. So we just need Matthew through to Revelation. And yet, what does it tell us in Timothy? All Scripture's given by inspiration. We as God's children are to obey all of God's word and to follow it. We're not to take sin lightly. We're not to live in sin. We're not to bring sin into our homes. We're not to seek to conceal it in our homes and hide it as were in the tents. We're to be mindful of sin. We're to be mindful of its consequences. We're to be mindful of the impact even of our sin upon others. You think of it, Achan's sin troubled all of Israel. His longing, his yearning for that accursed thing troubled all of Israel. Not just his family, not just his tribe, all of Israel. All of Israel's troubled. All of Israel's now tarred at that point because God said there in verse 11, Israel hath sinned. His sin affected the whole nation of Israel, the whole people. His sin left 36 men dead, 36 families grieving. His sin brought God's wrath and displeasure upon Israel. Remember the words of Romans 14 and 13. It says, no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Remember when you sin, and even maybe you're considering, maybe there's a temptation in your heart and your mind towards sin. Remember, it can have consequences not just in yourself, but in your family, your friends, even in the church. The sin of one can affect the blessing of God upon the entire church. Child of God, we're to guard ourselves from sin. We're to watch that conduct that does not lead others astray and to sin. Achan's sin was dealt with completely. He's stoned with stones. The body's burnt with fire. The gold, the silver, the Babylonian garment, everything consumed with the fire. God is just. God sees sin. God sees your sin. He sees my sin. And He reveals it. Be sure your sin will find you out. He punishes it. One thing I want to leave with you this evening. We've looked at the depth and the dealing of the trouble. But then thirdly, finally, I want to leave you with the deliverance from trouble. The deliverance from trouble. You might ask, well, what's the legacy of the Valley of Achor? Because last week we considered the Valley of Eshcol and the legacy that's left behind, because even after 40 years, the legacy of the Valley of Eshcol was still doubt and fear. Never the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe Manasseh weren't for coming over the water. Moses pointed the finger to Eshcol and spoke about the fear and the doubt. So what's the legacy with the Valley of Achor? Well, the Valley of Achor is the legacy of it's not trouble. It's not sin. Remember, as I said, God is just. 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there in the Valley of Achor, God's justice was fulfilled. Achan was punished, his family were punished, they were dealt with, the wrath was appeased, and then it was all covered. It's dealt with. Because it was dealt with, because the sin had been exposed, punished, and covered, therefore the Valley of Achor could become a place of blessing. And the Valley of Achor is mentioned on two more occasions in Scripture. Both times it's blessing. Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. Speaking in that particular section in the book of Hosea, it's speaking of the Lord's mercy to Israel. It says, I will give her vineyards from thence, and the Valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. And then over in Isaiah 65 in the verse 10, the prophet says, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the Valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people not have sought me. That place, that valley of trouble, whenever the trouble was dealt with, whenever the sins dealt with, whenever, as it were, the atonement's been made, the wrath's been appeased, whenever the sin is covered over, God then brings a blessing. The valley of trouble became a valley of hope, became a valley of praise. It became a valley, even a provision. There the herds lay down. Valley of peace. Now maybe I'm speaking to one tonight who has sinned. Even in your Christian walk, Maybe you're still sinning before God even to this very night. You're hiding it even in your home. Disobeying God's commands, disobeying His word. Living like Achan. Robbing God. Let me encourage you. Confess it to the Lord. Give Him the glory. Turn from it. Have it covered. Not simply by stones, but covered by the blood of Christ. He's faithful. He's just. You confess your sin. He forgives it. You turn from it. Then the Lord turns away from it. See if God's forgetfulness covered. Then the blessing can come. Then the vessel is a vessel unto honor, not unto dishonor. Like the valley, even though it was a valley of trouble, maybe that's in reality your life at the minute because of the sin. Yet the valley can become a valley of hope, a valley of peace. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Amen.